This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And a good Saturday morning, a sunny Saturday morning to you. Frank Proctor here, sous chef of the garden, the under-gardener, if you will. And Charlie and I, to verify the fact that it is indeed now fall, both of us are wearing sweaters this morning.
It's a bit of a chilly morning.
Oh, yeah.
But gorgeous, gorgeous. Yeah. Blue sky, crystal clear.
What's the high going to be? About 19 degrees, I'd say.
Yeah, 18, 19 here in Toronto.
Beautiful sunny day.
As I was coming down, I heard on the radio, I think it was 4 degrees in Thunder Bay this morning.
Ah. Well, I can't tell you how happy Shirley is out on the farm there. Because today she was all worried her son-in-law, Martin Swinton, is having a birthday and they're having a little do for him. And she thought, oh, please don't rain.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. It's
a
perfect day to be out partying and out at events and festivals.
Happy birthday, Martin. Okay. We've got lots going on the show here. My gosh.
We do. Did you want to give the numbers and I will come up with all my events, as is my wont?
Very good. All righty. In Toronto, call this number, please. 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, it's toll-free. 1-866-740-4740. Remember our little mantra, call early, call often. One question per call. And if you are indeed a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know. And that will mean I will do this just before you come on the air.
The welcome bell.
You've got it. You'll earn your wings here on The Garden Show.
Garden wings.
Okay, Charlie, what do you have?
Well, okay, here's a good one. I just brought it up on our computer. The Farm to Fork on Common Ground is happening today and tomorrow. Couldn't ask for better weather for an outdoor festival. Happening, of course, at the Fort York site, right near here, near Liberty Village, where we are located in the Zoomerplex. So today, tomorrow, noon until 6, celebrate the harvest season with a festival of healthy food, music, arts, and community at, of course, the Fort York National Historic Site. It's an annual On Common Ground festival. And, of course, as well, Toronto's non-GMO coalition's community-based farm-to-fork celebration. So I just think that sounds like a lot of fun. We normally typically go to High Park for our breakfast, but I was thinking maybe we should take a wander over to Fort York and have our have some non-GMO healthy granola bars or something.
Well, oh golly. I'm excited far more than you can even know.
We prefer our bacon and greasy bacon and eggs. Anyway, so more going on, of course, always in the gardening world. The Greater Toronto Water Gardeners will be holding their next meeting at Terra Greenhouses. That is tomorrow, 12 to noon. Their lunch is being served right at 12 noon. The location is 12800 Britannia Road West, or sorry, Britannia Road in Milton, just west of Trafalgar. The speaker is Judy. Judy is a Terra staff member, and she's speaking on about water gardening. Her topic is landscaping your pond, which is great. Can't have a pond without landscaping.
Absolutely.
Nope. And one more thing, the Greater Toronto Bulb Society. A lot of Greater Toronto things going on. So the Greater Toronto Bulb Society is meeting tomorrow as well, 1:30 p.m. The speaker is Anna Leggett. Her topic is no sex, we're potatoes.
Well, I don't know what to reply to that.
Well, okay, Anna's talk is on underground reproduction without sex.
Okay.
Bulbs, corms, tubers, and rhizomes. I'm going to see if Anna will come speak to my students at Durham College. I think they would. Well, I've been talking to them.
You just mentioned sex and the kids are going to be there. Yeah.
Bulbs and corms. Well, they'll be there no matter what because they're good students. But, you know, trying to explain the difference between a bulb and a corm and a tuber and a rhizome. I'm showing them pictures. But for a lot of them, it's, you know, I think she could do a really good job making it very real for them. So this is going to be a great talk tomorrow, 1:30 p.m. There's as well, of course, the bulb people are having having a September flower show, and they're having their Amaryllis special order taking for huge 36-plus size bulbs of newer hybrids. Location is Cummer Park Community Center, 6000 Leslie Street at Cummer. Parking is free, and guests are always welcome.
Excellent. All right.
All righty.
That do it for the moment?
For now.
All right. You know, you're welcome to pop back anytime.
Oh, thank you
more.
So much.
It's your show.
Really?
I keep reminding myself, oh, yeah,
yes.
It's her show.
I keep reminding you, too, but you never listen.
We're going to be – we have a whole bank of phones lit
callers,
up here.
Callers,
yes.
Yep.
And the callers are ready to talk to you. We'll be back to them in just moments. Here on Zoomer Radio, it's The Garden Show with Charlie Dubman.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Here she is, pounding the desk, just anxious to get the callers. And hey, we've got a first-time caller.
Nice.
Maxine, that little bell's for you. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
You just won your wings.
This is not a question. This is a phone call of gratitude and appreciation. Charlie, I thank you so much for coming to my house and completely transforming my front yard. It looks completely stunning. It's just like yesterday with Christmas.
But
and you know what? I thank you for you and your team, such a high level of professionalism. They work so hard. They are just so diligent, hardworking. And I thank you for cleaning up.
Of course. Yes, that goes without saying. It was raining. It was pretty muddy at one point there yesterday, so we'd had a bit of cleaning up to do.
I know, but nobody complained at all about the weather. And I felt so bad when it did start raining. But
Maxine,
you know,
this morning
when I'm at my gym right now, when I left the house, and I just looked and I thought, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. And I just thank you. And I thank you for making all of the choices.
Thank you.
And it was just so beautiful. My only regret is I didn't get a picture of you and your team in front of the beautiful flower bed.
No worries.
So we'll have to haul everybody back.
maybe have a bag of wine, you know, and that'll draw them back.
Okay.
Well, Maxine, you know, you were a big help as well. So thanks for, you know, getting in there and pulling weeds and doing some planting as well. It was fun. You know, we worked alongside each other. So that's what fun and good gardening is all about.
Well, I have to confess, Charlie, the reason I was working with you are an expert. And how many questions did I ask you?
Lots.
So anyway, if I helped in any way, thank you. But isn't that very selfish of me?
Not at all. That's what we do. We share.
I learned so much yesterday, and have an enormous amount of appreciation to actually have a conversation with an expert. Many people in many fields think they are, but you truly, truly are, and you're so humble. And I just had one of the best days of my entire life.
Great.
And I am so very, very grateful.
Well,
thank you for calling.
I really appreciate the call, Maxine.
Okay.
Have a good day, a beautiful sunny day, and go enjoy that garden. Don't forget to water.
Oh, don't you worry.
All right.
<Don't you worry.
laughs> Very good. What a nice call to receive right off the top there. And first-time caller at that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, Maxine was, you know, hired us to do this overhaul to the front garden. And one of the best things is when the homeowner wants to learn and says, how can I help?
Yep,
and she was available to do so. So she jumped into the mud with us.
Exactly. Okay, well, hey, we're going to be a little digging a little bit of dirt in the Buffalo area. Remember last week, our very last caller was Barbara from Buffalo, who at that time I think was a first-time caller. But we welcome her back right now. Hi, Barbara. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Good morning.
I thank you. I pretend you're in my garden with me doing the work right next to me. So I thank you and I thank you.
Oh, great.
But anyways, what I have are numerous Rosa Sharon bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And loaded with buds. Mm-hmm. Every year, loaded with buds. Only about a quarter open up and bloom. What's my problem?
So just right across the bat, all the different shrubs, about a quarter open on all of them?
Yes.
And are they double-flowered Rose of Sharon, do you know?
No. Single.
Single.
Yeah.
I wish I knew the answer to that, because I composted a Rose of Sharon after threatening it for about 4 years because it kept doing that to me. It would set hundreds of buds.
Yes.
They would start to crack open and you could see the pink becoming between.
And then nothing else would happen.
No.
And it would just sit like that. And I thought, okay, it's because we had an early winter. So, you know, I gave excuses for the plant for a number of years. And then I finally said, that's it. This is your last chance. If I don't get open flowers from you, you're out of here. And it didn't. It never performed. So I just put it down to the genetics of that specific shrub. But that was a double flowering one as well, which I think do tend to have more issues with actually getting those buds opened.
Yeah.
But you said you've got several doing that.
Yeah, I got about 10 of them.
Yeah.
And just thousands and thousands of buds. Some are, you know, almost open and some never open.
Yeah.
So every fall I have to cut it all off because it all goes to seed.
Yeah. Well, it hangs on. Until the flowers open, typically the seeds don't mature. Or do you find that they do go to seed and you end up with little babies?
Oh, they do go to seeds.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they dry up and then they...
Well, so then I guess it's doing what... you got to realize that we appreciate the flowers, but from a plant's perspective, it's all about the seeds.
Yeah.
So if it can produce seeds without putting too much energy into flowers, then that's a good thing for the plant, you know.
Do you think it's possibly it's getting too much sun?
I doubt it. They love full sun. They love full sun. They do like a pretty good quality soil. Be very careful with your fertilizer. I'd be inclined to sort of don't fertilize these plants and make them suffer a bit for nutrient and see if that might speed up the flowering.
Well, see, I've done that.
Yeah.
I haven't given fertilizer in about 3 years.
Yeah, really? Okay, I researched this, like I said, 10 years ago. I could find nothing on it, but leave it with me. I'll see if I can come up with anything for next week.
Okay, great. Okay. Have a great day.
And maybe somebody's listening who has some experience with this and has some tips on how to get around it. It was very frustrating.
Well, as we say bye-bye to Barbara there in Buffalo area, we have a line open then. Or if you are handy with the phone, good time to call right now, 416-360-0740. Or if you're out of the area, it's 1-866-740-4740, and we'll be along to talk to George in Etobicoke right after these words on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Master Gardener Charlie Dobbin in the studio and on the line now with George from Etobicoke. Good morning, George.
Good morning, you all.
Morning.
Charlie, I have two poinsettias in a 12-inch pot that's been out in the garden all summer.
Nice.
And they're really brilliant looking, and I'm just wondering how I can get them to return to the red foliage that was on them when I bought them.
Well, so they're big, fat, juicy green plants right now then.
Oh, absolutely. They've been repotted and the root trimmed a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only way you're going to get those green leaves to turn red, which is what you need to have happen, is to provide the conditions to make that happen. And that is starting about 12 weeks before the Christmas season. So even, you know, now, bring them in the house.
Uh-huh.
And you need to provide 12 hours of complete darkness to those plants every 24 hours. So for some...
Cover them with something?
Pardon?
You have to cover them with something just in a dark room?
Dark room is fine, but it's got to be a truly dark room. So it's got to be a room where you don't go in there at any point during that 12-hour
period.
That's right. And there's no, like, street lights with light coming in through a window or that kind of a thing.
Yeah, no light... Period.
No light period. So for some people, they don't have a dark room and they'll use like the front hall cupboard or they'll put a paper bag over top of the plants. Better if you have a dark room that you can either just like sun comes up, you get some sun goes down, it's dark, let it happen without a lot of work on your part, or move the plants in and out of light and dark, and they will within 6 to 8 weeks start to color up, and by Christmas time they should be perfect.
So you do it every 12 hours?
Yep, 12 hours light, 12 hours dark.
How many times do you have to do it?
From now for the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, every 12 hours.
Yep.
Wow, you got your work cut out for you.
It's quite a chore, eh?
Yeah. That's right.
Can I tell you a little story that happened to me yesterday?
Sure.
I grew up in Toronto, you know, and all like I'm currently 91. All the milk and you know, Eatons and Simpsons was delivered by horses.
Mm-hmm.
And the people used to get manure delivered right on the street.
Well, yeah, I can.
Fresh manure.
I'll bet you.
Two horses come out of the park, Colonel Smith Park on the lakeshore here, and one of them made a big dump. And I stopped my truck, and I got out, and I picked up them. Two people stopped to look at me. They couldn't figure out what I was doing. There's fresh manure right from the manufacturer.
Free for the taking. But remember, fresh manure doesn't go directly onto...
Oh, no, you got to let it chill. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. That's great. See, now that, there you go. There's garden wisdom at its best.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody who knows the value of free fresh manure and stops his truck to get it.
George has to just transpose those numbers. He's not 91. When he's 19.
he sounds young, doesn't he?
Does he ever. Hey, Mervin in Toronto, welcome to the show.
Hello?
Yeah,
good
hi.
Morning.
Hello. Where do I get the fresh manure again?
You got to hang out where there's horses. So there are police horses down in this area, Lakeshore area, so I guess...
Well, I'll be right there.
Yeah, George saw a couple horses.
My wife got about 20 small rows of Charon plants.
Uh-huh.
They were just a couple of inches higher, maybe a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
So I've grown them in a pot. There's about 20, and they're now about a foot higher, about a foot high. So can I plant them outside? Will they last outside if I put them outside in the garden?
Oh, they definitely need to be outside.
They do.
Yeah, you don't bring those in.
Uh-huh.
If you have a permanent location for all 20 of them, then for sure go ahead and plant them. But because they're only a foot high, make it obvious so you'll know where they are in the spring.
Yes.
Because rows of Charon are the last plants to produce leaves. So they're hard to see in the spring, and you could be, you know, stepping on them or whatever. So just put some little cages or stakes or something around them.
Yeah.
If you don't have a proper permanent location for them, just bury the pot with all 20 of those little seedlings in there, or, you know, separate them into separate pots and just bury the pots in the garden for the winter and then pull up the pots in the spring and then, you know, work out where they're going to go.
Okay, so I should get a good result out of that then?
Yeah, you should.
Would they all last? I don't know what I would do with 20 plants exactly.
I was going to say,
survive the winter then?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely. They're fairly hardy plants. They are what's considered a Zone 5 plant, and you are calling us from Toronto.
Yes.
So you are in Zone 6, so you are fine in terms of the hardiness. So if they look healthy, that's the main thing. But remember, rows of Charon want full sun.
Uh-huh.
So full sun is 6 hours or more hours of sun daily, wherever your location is.
Uh-huh.
So you might not have room for that many rows of Charon. You might want to wait. I mean, are they all going to be the same color? I guess you don't know. You probably don't have buds on them this year.
No, there's nothing on them.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, depending on where your wife got them, they could all be exactly the same plant, right? So you may only want one out of the 20.
Uh-huh.
But if they're different colors, you might want to find room for more than one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. That's all I need to know. Thanks very much.
Hey, thanks
for
Mervin.
Calling.
Yeah, you bet. Nice to have you on the show. And this is, of course, The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio as we broadcast live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village. Well, out to Guelph we go, a spot that you're quite familiar with, Charlie, from your history of learning. Sylvia, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Charlie, I love your program, and I enjoy Frank's comments, too.
God bless your heart.
Thank you.
My question is about lilies. Mm-hmm. I have a beautiful yellow day lilies, and I have a beautiful stargazer lily.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other day, my three-month-old pup pulled a yellow lily off and ate it, and she got sick, and then she got the diarrhea. So I'm wondering if you can tell me, is that yellow day lily poisonous?
No.
And how about the stargazer? Is it poisonous?
No. Excuse me. Daylily flowers are quite famous for being not poisonous. People will often... you can buy them at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Daylily flowers, and sometimes you'll buy them stuffed with cream cheese, or you can take them home and make hors d'oeuvres with them. They're quite edible. So daylily flowers, and you know, to the best, like I said, they're buds are often used in stir fries. Like the flowers of daylilies are, like I said, completely non-toxic to people, and that doesn't mean they're not toxic to dogs. So there are good websites if you have access to the internet. And I, you know what, let me look it up. There's a whole website just for cats and dogs, and then there's other websites that are more for people in terms of poisonous plants.
And what about the stargazer? Is it poisonous? Stargazer?
That one, I know, I'm just trying to think. I think not, but I'd have to double check.
Okay.
Okay, and yeah, you're absolutely right. Like a stargazer is lilium. It's an actual lily, whereas daylily is not an actual lily. It's actually Hemericallis is the proper name. So they're completely different genus, but the flowers are those tubular-shaped flowers. And so leave that with me, and I'll just double check that
stargazer,
for you.
Stargazer, right? Okay.
Stargazers are pink flowers and very, very fragrant.
Okay.
It's
quite
beautiful,
lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, so a little puppy ate, so 3-month-old puppy ate one of the daylilies, obviously, because stargazers aren't blooming now. 3-month-old puppy. All right, so I'm, you know, just could have been that the fiber. You never know what gives animals diarrhea, but let me double check, because like I said, they are not poisonous to people.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Sylvia.
And, keep listening.
Delighted that you gave Charlie some homework to do. So she hit me again.
Gently, though.
Gently, of course. Sylvia, Chris in Niagara Falls is on the line now. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
The comment that you had for the woman in Buffalo for the Rosa Sharon.
Uh-huh.
So I have the same. I have about 20.
Oh, my.
Mature trees with the same problem. Mm. And I'm thinking how old? Like, how long can you keep these trees before they have to
I was going to say, it's
bite the dust?
It's totally a patience thing when it comes to us as gardeners, particularly when you have that many. So I very quickly have Googled couple of reasons why Rose of Sharon set buds that don't open. One is they're in too much shade. And as I just mentioned to Mervyn, he's just, you know, inherited 20 little Rose of Sharon seedlings. Full sun is required, so 6 hours or more daily on these plants in order to have blooms that reach full capacity. During rainy seasons, we can have rot. Well, of course, this wasn't a rainy summer, but on the other end of the spectrum, drought. Very dry summers can cause Rose of Sharon buds to be damaged from the drought and fail to open. So there's either end of the spectrum there. Wet summers or super dry summers can affect Rose of Sharon buds opening. Mm-hmm. Being, you know, that they do their show at the end of the summer, obviously the way that season pans out, the beauty of the Rose of Sharon is going to be very dependent on the plant, on the kind of season we have. But like I said, I have seen... Sometimes I put it down to the genetics of the plant. Some plants, I think, some are just more susceptible to wussing out at the end of the season, and others are so dependable and they open every September and August and you just can't stop them. So, yeah, how long do you wait? Give them a couple of years. Threaten them. Don't hesitate to tell them what's going on and what you're thinking, because plants do listen. And, you know, just tell them they're going to the composter in the sky if they aren't going to cooperate and give you some beauty.
Okay, well, but these guys are about 20 years old. I mean,
and they must have flowered at some point along the way.
Oh no, they have. They have. I'm just thinking maybe they're too old now.
No, they're pretty long lived. It shouldn't have. I mean, they've got buds on them now, right?
Oh, absolutely. They're full of buds,
and they're all green. Green.
Okay,
buds.
I'll threaten them then.
Yeah, threaten them.
Good for you.
Give them a chance. Yeah. Let them know what you're thinking.
Shake them up.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. I'm just hearkening back to our very first caller this morning, Maxine, who is effusive in her praise of your work. That's what
you
Charlie,
sound surprised.
Well, no, but I did want to kind of expand on that just a tad to let folks know that that's exactly what, I mean, you come in here 1 hour a week to do a radio show, but your real job is going out to visit folks at their homes and transform their places from something that's not too attractive to something really attractive.
Yeah, something
so
that's just knock
I just want to get your,
off. Beautiful.
Your email, which I'll give in just a moment, but Garden Solutions, that's your
website.
The name
website, of my
basically.
Company.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do garden consulting, so people need help identifying plants or, you know, when do I prune? When do I fertilize? You
or,
know,
as just, in the case of Maxine, designing.
She had a front bed. And, you know, front of your home is very important. You know, it's all about curb appeal. And it was downright boring and also had a shrub in it that was not healthy. And I said, you know what? Let's just get rid of all this and change it up.
Start fresh.
And, we banged in some beautiful plants.
All righty. So the email address for Charlie is c.dobbin, dobbin at mzmedia.com. Okay?
Thanks, Frank.
All righty. Mabel in Caledonia, your turn. You're up next. Good morning. Welcome. Hi, Mabel. We've lost Mabel. All righty. We'll go then to, I believe, Richard in Oakville. Hi, Richard.
Morning.
Good morning.
My question is about seeds. Last year I bought a large bag of grass seed from Costco.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never opened it, and I'm just wondering if it will still germinate if I use it. You mentioned corn as an example of not germinating.
Yep.
What about grass seed?
Depending on the quality of the mix. Now, Costco may or may not have the best quality out there, but if you read the fine print, it should say Canada, A grade or number one seeds.
Okay.
And it'll be a blend. And if you've kept it dry, and as you said, it's been unopened, you should see virtually the same germination rate this year as you would have had last year, because grass seed is pretty good at overwintering, if you will, or being held in a dormant state. I wouldn't hold on to those seeds for 5 or 10 years, but certainly if you can get them out this year, I think you'll find, I would anticipate, and with any grass seed, we usually get about a 90% germination anyway, just because it's all about the moisture, right? Getting a nice, fresh little top dressing of good soil, the seed broadcast, a little light raking so the birds don't steal all the seeds,
right,
and consistent moisture for at least 2 weeks. And you should see a good germination rate from that, assuming, again, like I say, the quality of the seeds originally was quite good.
Good. Very good. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All righty. Thanks for joining us here on a Saturday morning from Zoomer Radio, The Garden Show. As a matter of fact, we're going to take a little bit of a break right now because we're coming back. We've got all sorts of folks lined up, including in the next batch of callers, a first-time caller. So we'll be along to talk.
You've got to get your arm going.
I know. My bell-ringing arm.
Loosen it up.
Right. Joan in Burlington is next. So, Joan, we'll be back to you in moments here on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie has been doing some homework as we speak,
trying to avoid having to do it and remember for next week. And you know what happens, my cat eats my homework, so better to get it out of the way.
Speaking of cats eating things.
That's right. Sylvia had called from Guelph and said her 3-month-old puppy ate a daylily flower and started throwing up. So the question is, what's going on? Now, the information I've come to, of course, you're in a great place there in Guelph because I just went directly to the Ontario Veterinary Medical Association, which, as far as I know, is actually based in Guelph, because OVC, the Ontario Veterinary College, is there. Lots of information here, potentially poisonous plants. There's a lot about daylilies and cats. So they're saying cats and lilies as well. So see Easter lily, cats, lots of exclamation marks. So keep your cats away from your Easter lilies. And we read something earlier that said cats and daylilies, but I'm not seeing anything about dogs and lilies. So here under daylily, I'm seeing the entire plant is toxic to cats. Nothing about lily on that site. And you know what? It's a good question for the vet. It would be to ask your vet, because puppies might be different than adult dogs. Yeah. They might be a little more sensitive, similar to a cat, smaller systems and stomach. So for sure that daylily could have caused a problem for that puppy. It is a challenge. Keep the pets away from chewing the garden plants. I mean, my cat chews grasses.
Better safe than sorry.
My cat's big on grasses. And of course, I plant catnip for the cats, so they chew on that all the time. But otherwise, they generally stay away from chewing on things, I find. So fences, little puppies, keep close control on them, just like little children. Keep close control on the garden.
Joan has something for us to chew on here from Burlington. Good morning, Joan. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
My mandevilla plant is hanging up just under a crabapple tree.
Yeah.
What is it advisable, or can I bring it in for the winter?
Sure.
Now, what do I do about all this? I don't want it to grow terribly, terribly long. It has what I call all these tendrils growing out of it. Where do I cut them off?
Well, are there flowers on it right now?
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. So, I mean, to bring a plant in at this time of year, it's in a pot, obviously.
Yes.
So it's not like you're going to do any digging and root damage digging it up. So you could bring it in intact after you've given it a good thorough washing and cleansing and clearing of dust and, you know, who knows what's in there, earwigs, et cetera. You want to clean them all out before you bring it in. Mm-hmm. But because light levels are lower inside our house than they are outside our house, it would be a very good idea to anticipate there will be some yellowing of leaves when you mm-hmm. bring it in. So cutting it back at any point, whether before you bring it in or shortly thereafter, is not a bad thing. If you don't want to cut it back, you definitely want to do a big cutting back in late February, early March, because okay. that will promote all kinds of new growth for next spring and when we start the active growth and lots more flowers. So
you talk about giving it a good wash. Could I put that in the laundry tub with mm-hmm. lots of soapy water?
Absolutely.
And maybe try and turn it upside down so I get the underside of the leaves done?
What I would do is I would immerse it in water. I'd fill the laundry tub with room temperature water, mm-hmm. and if you, not detergent, but soap, not a bad idea.
Dishwashing liquid.
Well, yeah, dishwashing liquid, not detergent, though, so not okay. like Palmolive. Make sure it's like Aveeno or Ivory or one of those soap brands. And yeah, a couple of drops of soap into your laundry tub, room temperature water. Immerse the entire plant pot and all underwater.
Oh.
Hold it down until the air
bubbles come up.
Rise yep. to the surface. Yeah, see, you know this, too.
Yes.
And I know, you're like a gardener at heart, really, Frank. So you hold it right down, the bubbles rise, and, you know, eventually bubbles stop rising, and you let go, let it sit there for, you know, a minute or so. Drain the tub. Let the plant drain. It will take a number of hours to drain mm-hmm. properly. And then you do not water it, of course, until it's, you know, seriously needs to be watered. It could be a month from now, depending on the amount of light you're putting it in, because it's a thorough watering and a thorough cleansing.
Now, I'm going to put it in the south-southwest window, but
good. Yeah.
In the summertime, I get very little sun here because I have two huge maple trees behind me.
Right.
But in the wintertime, I get all the
lots
sun I can want.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So the mandevilla should be very happy there.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you for calling in, Joan. The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. Oh, here we go. Wait a minute. I've been practicing my bell ringing arm. That's for
He's
Janice.
He's good, eh? He practices that bell ringing.
You betcha. Janice in Sutton, that's for you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good morning.
I have a question about tulips. I bought some of the new Canada Day red and white tulips.
Oh, nice. Yep.
And I'd like to plant them in containers, store them in the garage over the winter, and bring them out in the spring. Is that possible?
It's potentially possible. Your garage, is it insulated?
No.
So the only issue is it depends what kind of winter we have.
Right.
My garage, similar to yours, is not insulated, though my door is, my walls are not. And I have had bulbs rot or turned mush because of freezing in my garage during cold winters. But I've also had success when it hasn't been such a cold winter. See, the trick with the tulip bulbs is they want to be chilled. They're happy to be refrigerator temperature. And that's why burying them 4 to 6 inches down into the ground keeps them just, you know, around zero. You know, typically we don't go multi-degrees below zero, even when the ground frost penetrates down a couple of feet,
right.
We still are close to zero within that soil layer. And so the challenge is keeping those tulips around that, you know, 0, 1, 2, mm-hmm. 3 degrees and not 5 or 10 below zero. Otherwise, they will rot.
Okay.
And I've had, depending on how your garden works, I've had very good success by planting up tulips into pots, and then I don't have room in my refrigerator to keep them all winter, so I bury the pots outside in the garden.
Oh.
Then, as soon as the ground is thawed enough that I can lever those pots up out of the garden, it might be March, depending, you know, because you put them in a spot where sun will get onto them early in the spring. You pop them up out of the ground, wash the pots off, and then stand them at your front door or your back patio door or wherever, and they will bloom like crazy very beautifully outside for you. Oh, you could bring them in, too, if you want.
Yeah.
But the blooms will last longer if you leave them outside.
Okay.
So that's a thought, too, if you have that kind of space in your garden to bury the pots.
Okay. Well, I'll give that a try, I think.
All right. Thanks
Thank you for
calling.
Your first-time caller. You're always welcome to the show, Janice. Okay. Thanks for being with us here and being along in the show. Pamela from Burlington next, but we'll take a little bit of a break here and come back to say hi to not only Pamela, but a whole bunch of other folks, too.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, along with Charlie, bopping along to Burlington. There's Pamela. Good morning, Pamela. Welcome
Hello,
to the show.
Frank. Charlie, I've got some Phalaenopsis orchids somebody gave me, and I had them for about 3 months in a nice, well-lit location, not direct sunlight. And when I saw the little card that said water with three ice cubes, I nearly died. Goodness gracious. So anyway, I had it for about 3 months, and all the flowers started to fall off, and I had one left, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to give it some orchid food. So I gave it 2 drops in 1/4 cup of water, but I think I killed it.
Oh, really? What happened after that?
Well, I've got no flowers on it at all now.
Oh, well, that's okay, but you've got the green leaves.
Yes.
Right. So, you know what? Don't do the three ice cubes. I mean, unless you really find that just the most convenient way to water the plant. I'm not a big fan of the three ice cubes. The reason that's recommended is, number one, because it's simple, but number two, because as the ice cubes melt, the water slowly percolates down through the bark or the substrate that the orchids are growing in. Orchids are what we call epiphytes, so they don't typically, well, Phalaenopsis don't grow in the ground. They would grow up in trees, in crotches and nooks and crannies where they kind of land as they float around in the canopy of the rainforest. So your challenge is to create a fairly high moisture, high humidity situation without overwatering, without causing the roots to rot, but at the same time, watering thoroughly. I'm a huge fan of immersing the plant, pot and all, underwater into a bucket of room temperature water with some orchid food in it. And if you can do that every week or so, you'll find that the plant will be super happy and will flower nonstop.
Because I didn't know whether I had the right amount of drops, you know, for this little pot I've got, you know.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, it'll have instructions on the fertilizer. Usually it'll be by the leader that they'll make a recommendation. And you're right, it might be 2, 3, 6, 7 drops in a liter of water. So make sure your mix is mixed up as per instructions. And then if you don't need to use the whole liter to water the plant, just keep it in a jar or, you know, keep it sort of off to the side somewhere. And 10 days, a week from now when it's time to water, just use the same water again to water until it's gone.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And then it won't die then on me.
No, it's all, if the leaves are green and healthy, you're good to go. It's just a matter of creating the right conditions to get more flowers to grow.
And feast the ice blocks. Yeah, okay, I'm glad to do that. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Pamela. Barbara in St. Catharines, toward the latter part of the show here. Hello and welcome to the show. Glad to get in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That was interesting information because I'm calling about the roots of my orchids. And I've got so many, they're quite ugly. What do we do with them when they grow over the pot?
Don't say they're ugly in front of the orchid. You will hurt its feelings. They're kind of... Yeah, they have that kind of look about them. But again, rainforest, channel jungle. Those roots need to be doing what they're doing. They need to grow on the surface. They will reach around and they'll look quite...
They're getting the nutrients from the air, right?
They are. They are absorbing a certain amount of moisture from the air and they are absorbing potentially some nutrients. Healthy roots will have a green tip and they'll be fat and juicy and they'll have a sort of a silver coloration on the outside of the root and it's perfectly normal. Do not cut them away. Do not feel that they're ugly. just if you find them really not attractive, maybe take the little orchid pot and just sit it in a bigger over pot so that you've got kind of a pretty thing happening on the outside and the orchid roots will kind of twirl around down deeper into that over pot. So you won't see them quite as much.
Right.
But yeah, they do need to be out there and they do need to do their thing.
Thank you for that reassurance.
Okay.
And thanks for calling. Charlie Dobbin here in the Garden Show. Gee, North York. Hello, Elizabeth. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi there.
Yes, I first time caller.
Let's get that on the job.
My goodness.
So great to talk to you both.
Thank you.
Yes, it's to do with, I have a mixed herb plant that I got, and it's on the balcony, and it's to do with the cherry tomato. Is there any way of saving it to plant again?
Well, the only thing you could do would be to save it to bring it inside.
Uh-huh.
And certainly you could do that. Tomatoes don't need to die in the frost. I mean, you can bring tomatoes in, and if you can provide sufficient light, uh-huh. you can continue to harvest tomatoes well into the winter.
Oh, because it's got a couple of that looks like blossoms coming.
Yeah. Well, generally speaking, the natural light that starts happening in our home, so the outdoor sunshine coming through the windows, is insufficient to keep a tomato flowering and fruit bearing.
Uh-huh.
But certainly getting a grow light or providing some kind of supplemental lighting for the plant, it makes it possible to continue to, like
well,
you say, harvest harvest fruits and vegetables through the winter. So it's just more a question of your setup and what you're willing to do. But absolutely, yes, good cleaning up like we were talking about with our Mandevilla caller Joan, washing the plants. Bring them in as sunny a location as you can provide. And like I said, some supplemental lighting as well is a good idea.
And should I have it by its, in another pot, like by itself, because there's other herbs in the pot?
I personally wouldn't do a lot of transplanting right now because you'll find the plants will be quite stressed if you do that. If they have been happy together as a group, I would keep them as the group and bring them in as the group.
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
Thank you. And, I don't know. We've got a couple of minutes, just a couple of minutes. Do we have time for one more?
I guess if we go fast.
All right. And this happens to be a first-time caller,
nice.
Too, from a beautiful part of the country, Niagara-on-the-Lake. Margaret.
Yes.
That's for you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank. So glad to get through to you.
Thanks.
I have a problem with my Euronymus bushes, a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
They have scale.
Mm.
And I bought a dormant oil spray, mm-hmm. and I just wonder what your feedback is on that.
Definitely worth using dormant spray. Unfortunately, though, you can't use it now. Well, you can use it, but it won't have any impact.
Okay.
If you want to kill Euonymus scale, the timing of the application of the dormant spray or the dormant oil spray is very important. As I recall, it's like June. So you'd wait for a cool day, or you'd put it on at summer weight. But it's all scale has a shell on the outside of the insect that protects the insect from being hit by the oil spray.
Right.
And at this time of the year, the little babies that haven't yet created that little shell are hiding under their mummies. So mm-hmm. You will not kill enough Euonymus scale to make it worth your while right now. But certainly that's a very, very good question, and I will double check. Like I said, I believe it's June. Kind of depends on what kind of spring we're having. But that's when the nymphs are out and accessible with the oil to annihilate them.
Okay. Thank you kindly.
Okay, Margaret.
And listen up next week, and I will report that for sure. When to kill Euonymus scale.
Yeah.
Thanks, Margaret. All right, we got 20 seconds.
And you know
I'm taking
what?
A breath.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm just looking at the number of callers we've had this morning. Hmm. Something like 13 or something.
Yeah, so that's almost a record, I think.
Almost a record, yeah. Anyway,
thanks,
have yourself
Frank.
A wonderful weekend.
Couldn't do it without you,
thank you,
ringleader that you are. And Sebastian, couldn't do it without you either. So thank you very much, everybody. Great callers, couldn't do it without you. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.